In a world of unprecedented abundance and freedom, many of us remain profoundly unhappy. Why? We've confused liberty with license. As President Eisenhower wisely noted, freedom is actually the opportunity for self-discipline. Without self-restraint, our advantages become burdens. The battle between our higher and lower selves, what we should do versus what we can do, determines who we ultimately become. Self-discipline isn't about deprivation, but command of oneself, demanding your best even when no one's watching. Like a charioteer controlling horses with precision to win a race, discipline doesn't restrict but enhances everything we do. Have you ever noticed how the most disciplined people often seem to enjoy the greatest freedom? Lou Gehrig, baseball's Iron Horse, transformed himself from an uncoordinated immigrant son to one of baseball's greatest players through sheer determination. Despite being naturally awkward, he played 2,130 consecutive games through injuries, fevers, and pain. When success brought comfort, Gehrig resisted softness, once tearing padding off the Yankees' upgraded dugout bench, remarking, "I get tired of sitting on cushions." The truly dedicated are harder on themselves than any outside person could ever be. Our physical form represents our first challenge, first to master it and reach our potential, then to gracefully manage its inevitable decline. The body isn't just flesh and bone, it's the training ground where we develop the mental toughness needed for everything else in life. Seneca, despite his wealth, regularly practiced voluntary discomfort, sleeping on the ground, wearing coarse clothing, and subsisting on bread and water for days. This wasn't privileged posturing, but serious training to prove that what others dreaded was perfectly endurable. By deliberately seeking discomfort, running in cold weather, sleeping on a hard surface, lifting heavy things, we temper ourselves like steel. Yet the disciplined person also understands the importance of rest. The night before his heavyweight title fight in 1956, Floyd Patterson executed his most crucial training element, sleeping for 11 and a half hours, followed by a 3-hour nap before the fight. While others were anxious, Patterson understood that sleep wasn't weakness, but essential discipline. How you structure your days determines your destiny. Theodore Roosevelt embodied this principle through his strenuous life, dedicating hours to exercise, even as president. At 58, Eisenhower quit his 38-year smoking habit cold turkey, simply stating, "The only way to stop is to stop, and I stopped." The morning hours offer a special opportunity for discipline. As Marcus Aurelius asked himself when reluctant to leave his warm bed, "Is this what I was created for? To huddle under the blankets and stay warm?" Thomas Edison's genius wasn't his mind, but his consistency. "I've got no imagination," he once admitted. The genius hangs around his laboratory day and night. If anything happens, he's there to catch it. Coach John Wooden began each UCLA season by teaching his elite recruits how to properly put on socks and shoes, smoothing wrinkles and tightening laces eyelet by eyelet. This seemingly basic instruction revealed a profound truth. Greatness begins with mastering fundamentals. The disciplined pace is what matters, moving deliberately and never stopping, like the tortoise who truly hustled in the famous fable. Master swordsman Nakayama Hakuto practiced drawing his sword 2,000 times daily, once completing 10,000 draws in 24 hours. Joyce Carol Oates exemplifies pure productivity with a refreshingly straightforward philosophy. "I come from a part of the world where people did work rather than just talk about it. When you feel you can't write or you're too tired or this or that, just stop thinking about it and work." Physical discipline is just the beginning. True self-control means moderation, not just in what we do, but in how we think, feel, and respond to chaos. Queen Elizabeth II demonstrated this higher form of discipline throughout her 7-decade reign. When faced with danger, a cement block slanting into her royal car, or a bleeding intruder in her bedroom, she maintained remarkable composure, calmly entertaining the intruder until security arrived. Between every stimulus and response lies a space, brief but sufficient to insert our philosophy. This space is where we decide whether to jump to conclusions, prejudge, assume the worst, or force situations into predefined boxes. Leaders especially cannot make decisions on impulse. They will have impulses, but must be disciplined enough not to act on them until they've examined them thoroughly. Booker T. Washington managed his incredibly busy life, running Tuskegee Institute, constant travel, speaking engagements, fundraising, and writing 5 books, not just through endurance, but through the discipline to say no. The number of people who stand ready to consume one's time to no purpose, he observed, is almost countless. The secret to success in nearly all fields is large, uninterrupted blocks of focused time. Every yes means saying no to something else. No one can be in 2 places at once or give full focus to multiple things simultaneously. Joyce Carol Oates places each manuscript in a drawer after completing the first draft, where it sits for a year or more. Not because her drafts aren't good, but because patience provides perspective. As Da Vinci wrote, patience serves as protection against wrongs as clothes do against cold. Great leaders make others better not through berating or demanding, but simply by doing their job. Their discipline becomes contagious. In their presence, we feel called to step up because they've shown what's possible. George Washington demonstrated the rarest form of temperance when he resigned his commission after defeating the British, turning down the chance to name himself king. When Martin Luther King Jr. was savagely beaten while giving an address, rather than defending himself, he dropped his hands like a newborn baby to receive more blows, literally turning the other cheek as the ultimate demonstration of nonviolence. The paradox of success is that precisely when we think we've earned the right to relax our discipline is when we need it most. What small daily habits are you currently building or breaking that will compound over time? Remember that freedom requires discipline, and discipline gives us freedom. What fundamental skills in your field deserve more of your focused attention? Have you considered that avoiding discomfort might actually be making you weaker? And conversely, that proper rest isn't laziness, but strategic recovery? When was the last time you paused before reacting to something that angered or frightened you? What unnecessary commitments could you eliminate today to make space for what truly matters? Self-discipline is the moderating influence against all other impulses. As Cicero wrote, supplement courage with self-control, and then every ingredient for the happy life is yours. What will your legacy of self-discipline be? Will you choose dependence or independence, greatness or ruin? Remember, discipline is destiny.